Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, we'll be reading the first 14 verses of this chapter tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord your God is near to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so." And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. It is so easy for us in the busyness of life to forget to take note of the passage of time. And that's why I think it's good for us to gather on New Year's Eve to reflect for a few minutes on the work of God, on His faithfulness to us in this past year, to turn once again to God's Word, to be instructed, to be encouraged, and to look forward to the year to come. Deuteronomy was written at a time of transition for the people of Israel. Oh, not a New Year's Eve type of transition, but they were certainly going into a new phase in their life, as we are entering a new phase in ours, the year 2010. Israel had been wandering in the wilderness, preparing to enter the promised land. And before they go in, Moses reminds them of what God has done for them in the past. The book of Deuteronomy is really three big sermons delivered from Moses to the people. We are looking in chapter 4 near the end of his first sermon. And in this sermon, Moses reminds the people of who God is and what he has done for them. Reminds them of God's actions in the past. Reminds them of God's direction for them in the present. And gives them a warning to prepare properly for the future. we look tonight at Deuteronomy chapter 4 to help us with those same three goals. Reflecting upon the past, the present, and the future. We read in verse 1, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live." Moses sets out right away at the beginning of chapter 4 the importance of listening to God. The importance of obedience. Obedience was the path to life. He has been for the past three chapters reminding them of what took place in that wandering time, reminding them of the wilderness experience, and now he says, and remember that obedience leads to life. That's how you got this far. And he reminds them the opposite, disobedience leads to death. Verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast the Lord your God are still alive today." Obedience brought life, disobedience brought death. At the Baal of Peor, recorded for us in Numbers chapter 25, Israel turned away from God. Israel turned away from the path of obedience and followed disobedience. And what happened? 24,000 were killed by God. He came and destroyed them with a plague. Not simply a slap on the wrist, not a mild warning. God made it very clear, disobedience leads to death. Obedience leads to life. That is how God worked in His people Israel. That is in many ways how God still works in us today. Now, if you think about this past year, I don't suppose many of us faced actual physical death because of acts of obedience or disobedience. But perhaps we faced emotional death, or we might say relationship death. If we have been disobedient to God with regard to the care of our spouse, we may experience even tonight alienation from them. Perhaps strained relationships with family or friends because of disobedience. Oh, not a physical death, but another type of death. Just as serious for us. And when those relationships in our family with our friends are strained, our relationship with God is strained as well. When we are not living properly with our husband, with our wife, with our children, with our co-workers, with our classmates, it will affect our relationship with God. And a bit of spiritual death comes in. I'm reminded of what David says in Psalm 51. He, after recognizing the sin he had committed with another person, and in fact his relationship to God as well, he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Now David knew he was still saved, but he lacked the joy of that salvation. It had died because of the disobedience to God and to others. Restore the joy of salvation. Obedience brings life. Disobedience brings death. And yet even tonight, as we reflect upon God's actions in the past, we remind ourselves of that greatest action in the past. That God would send His Son to save us from death. Physical death, to be sure. We shall live forever with God. But emotional, relational, spiritual death as well. Christ came and He suffered the pain and death and anguish of hell. He died that we might live. He gave up His life that we might have life. That is the glory of God's action in the past for us. God placed the curse on Him that we would receive the blessing. As you prepare to go into the year of our Lord 2010, don't enter with those weights of death still dragging you down. Don't enter with that alienation, that strained relationship with your fellow man or with God. But tonight, confess. Confess your sin and know the glory of God's forgiveness in Christ. Enter into the new year for life, for joy, for peace. Remember God's actions in the past and how He has worked on our behalf and how He calls us. How He calls us now to live for Him in the present and gives us direction in the present of how we should live. Verse 5. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Knowing what God has done in the past, how He has given us life, we now want to live for Him in the present. We want to follow the law He has given to us. And Moses reminds us in verse 2, you shall not add to the word that I command, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. As we go into the new year, we have that desire to observe the law of God, not adding to it, not subtracting from it. Now, I don't know that many of us would say that we want to add anything to God's law, but maybe we want to add something to the place of God's law in our lives. What I mean is this. There are those who want to make obedience to God a part of the ground and foundation of our salvation. There are those who want to make obedience something that makes us ready for grace or predisposes God to save us. I made reference to a study committee report about justification. It helps it out very clearly that the law is not that which is done unto salvation. We keep the law because we have been saved. We don't add something to its place. We keep the law in its proper place. Adding to the law brings us toward legalism, where the law becomes the means then of our salvation. We may not either subtract from the law, make it less important than it is. It is important for the people of God. It is important for us to know the law. It's important for us to hear the law. It's important for us to live by the law and not minimize its place in our lives. There are those who want to go overboard on adding to the law and going toward legalism. The opposite is leading to license, where we can live how we want, free from the law, oh, happy condition. But the law is important. It must have the proper place in our lives today, following after God's ways, for that is the way of peace. That is the way of righteousness. That is the way of blessing. We must observe the law, because by observing the law, our lives become a witness to those around us. Verse 6. Keep them, the laws, and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Keep the law, that will be your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Even the nations would recognize the wisdom of Israel when they kept the law of God. Oh, they would not understand how this is a response of gratitude, but they would see there's something right, something proper, something ethically pure about following after God's law. It would be seen as wisdom, understanding, and it would be noticed by those around. It would be noticed by the nations. The world would recognize their morality. Keep them and do them, for they will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The way we live should be an enticement to the world. It should entice them to say, there's something wise, there's something understanding, there's something good about the way they treat their spouse, about the way they raise their children, about the way they interact with their fellow employees. It should be noticeable that those who keep the law of God stand out as those wise and understanding. Surely this great nation is a wise, understanding people. And for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call upon Him? The nations would recognize the wisdom of the law, and Israel was to point them toward the goodness of God. What other nation has a God so close to them, so near to them, that He hears when they call? Israel was not to take credit to themselves, yes, look how great we are, but to point to the God of Israel. And the same is true for us. When God, by His grace, allows us to live distinctive lives, wise lives, understanding lives, and it's noticeable, and someone says to us, boy, you know, you really have a great way of dealing with people. You really have a great way of working through conflict or whatever it might be. We don't say, yeah, you know, I really am pretty good. I'm good at that. We say, no, let me tell you about my God, the one who has gifted me in that way. Let me tell you about God, who is the ultimate in understanding, the ultimate in wisdom, the ultimate in righteousness. And we take the attention off ourselves and point it to God. God continues to care for His people in the present. He continues to give us direction, instruction, statutes, laws, and commands through His Word. Sunday after Sunday, we learn that Word together, but I hope it's a part of your home life as well, that you continue to be fed on the Word of God in the present. And that tonight, once again, at this time of transition, this time of looking forward, we commit once again to following the law of God. Not just hearing it, not just even understanding it, but putting it into practice, that we might be a visible witness to those around us. God's direction for us in the present. Keep these laws, keep these statutes, and your wisdom and your understanding will be seen in the sight of the peoples, that you might bring honor and glory to me. God's instruction to us, God's direction for us in the present. And finally then, Moses speaks about the future. Verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Moses says, don't forget what you have learned. Keep these things in front of you. Keep them diligently. Don't forget what God has done. They are preparing to leave the wilderness, preparing to transition into the promised land. God would provide for them everything they needed, and it's easy for them to forget what God had done in the past. And Moses warns, don't forget His actions, but continue to remember the faithfulness of your God. It's almost hard to imagine that they could forget. Verse 10, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And He declared to you His covenant,
which he commanded you to perform. That is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone.
Now for us, that's ancient history. Israel had lived it. Israel in one generation could recall the Mount of Sinai and the fire and the smoke and the voice that came out and the giving of the law to his people. And yet Moses says, don't forget. Don't forget what God has done. If it was possible for them who had lived it to forget, how much more for us? How easy it is to forget what God has done for his people. How easy it is to enter into this new phase of life, this transition to 2010, and forget that we have a God who has acted, who does act now, and who will continue to act in the future. We have a God who will continue to go with us in 2010. He has taken care of us in the past. He has given us his word, his law, that we might go forward with confidence. We read the law of God every Sunday, and that's a good practice. The danger with a practice like that is we can become casual about the law of God. When we hear something so frequently, it's easy for us to forget the significance of God speaking his law to his people, writing it down on two tablets of stone. I had a professor in seminary who, whenever he read the law of God, always began by saying, pay close attention to the public reading of God's law. And by that, he reminded us. He reminded us of the Sinai event, of God speaking, of the tablets of stone. Pay close attention to the public reading of the law of God. That's God's warning for us in the coming year too. Not to forget his law and to make sure we pass this truth on to our children. Verse 9, make them known to your children and your children's children. Make them known to your children. Make sure our kids understand what God is doing. That's the way of the covenant. That's the way God acts. He acts through parents and then teaching their children. And as we enter into this new year, we must be very careful that we don't forget to instruct our children as well into what God is doing. Oh, we as adults can reflect upon God, on his works in the past, on his direction for the present, even on what's going on in the future. But children need help with that. To see the hand of God. To see how he has worked in our past, in our family's past, in our church's past. We're a new congregation. Our children have to understand why it is we exist. Why are we here? In a city with many, many churches, why are we here? We have to teach them, instruct them, tell them about God's faithfulness to care for his people and about our desire to be obedient to his command, to follow after him. Teach these things to your children. If you look at our church statistics, one-third of our membership are baptized children. One-third of our membership are baptized children. We must be very diligent in the coming year to teach them the ways of God. We do that in church through Sunday school classes, through catechism classes. As parents, we can help to encourage our children, to ask them if they have their lessons done, if they need help to understand the words that are on the page. But that's all part of fulfilling God's command for the future. Tell them to your children and your children's children. We have the blessing in this congregation of having some three generations in the families of those who've walked with the Lord. What a blessing. Grandparents, take the time to tell your children's children about God's ways in your life. You are our mentors. You are those who have walked with God for years We need to hear you tell us about God's faithfulness. We stand at the beginning of a new year, a time of transition, a time to look forward. Some look forward with worry, but we can look forward with confidence. But we know a God who has acted in the past, a God who has acted to give us life, life from death. We know a God who directs us even now in the present, giving us His law, teaching us how we should follow after Him. And we know a God who will go with us into the future, reminding us, don't forget, and don't let our children forget either. God is a faithful God, a good God, a covenant God. As we enter 2010, we may with joy look to Him for our confidence, to Him for our hope, and to Him for our security. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank You for Your goodness to us. For truly You are faithful, ever faithful to Your people, ever faithful to Your Word. And tonight we gather to celebrate that. That You are the God who has not left us, but the God who's been acting in the past, directing in the present, and warning us for the future. Oh, may we be attentive to You, O God. May we be attentive to Your Word, attentive to Your law. And may we leave tonight with confidence for the future, knowing that whatever happens, You will always be faithful to us. Hear our prayer, O God, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.